May what I speak, may what you hear, be in the name of the God of love, who creates, redeems, sustains every single one of us. Amen. Please be seated. Some verses from that Gospel, Matthew chapter 11, verses 2 and 3, when John the Baptist heard what the Messiah was doing, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, Are you the one who is to come? Or are we to wait for another? First this morning, I have a theological joke for you. A theological joke, if that's not an oxymoron. So brace yourselves. Here it is. One day, Jesus asked his followers, "Who do you say that I am?" And one of his followers, who fancied himself as a bit of a theologian, replied, "Who are you? You are the eschatological manifestation of the ground of our being. You are the kerygma in which we find the ultimate meaning of our interpersonal relationships." To which Jesus replied, "What?" What? Stupid joke. But that question, who is Jesus? Who is he? Who is Jesus? That question is the question with which John the Baptist is grappling, yeah, in this morning's gospel. And it's also the question which I think many of us grapple with too, sometimes. Yeah. I'll come back to our grappling. We'll start with John the Baptist's grappling. Now, we all know the outline of the story of John. He's that guy who's out there in the wilderness, dressed in camel's hair and surviving on a diet of wild honey and locusts. John is out there in the wilderness calling people to repent, and telling them that he is only the warm-up act. He's only the curtain raiser. He is telling anyone who'd listen that there is another person on the way, someone much more powerful, someone whose sandals he is not worthy even to carry. And this other person, this Messiah, says John, he won't use water for baptism, oh no. He will baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And this other person, this Messiah, says John, he will take no prisoners, so to speak. Oh no, he will gather the good folk, the wheat. He will gather the good people into his granary. But the chaff, the other people, well, it won't be so good for them. They're headed for the unquenchable fire. And so the story goes, when Jesus comes along one day to be baptized, John immediately recognizes him, immediately knows that he's the one he's been talking about. He recognizes him, but of course Jesus, as you know, refuses to be baptized. But when Jesus comes up from the water after he is baptized, a voice comes from heaven saying, "This is my son, the beloved, with him I'm well pleased." In other words, this is the one. This is the Messiah. This is the guy you've been waiting for. Crystal clear. Who could doubt it? But all of that little summary, that was Matthew chapter 3. And today, we're in Matthew chapter 11. And things are now very, very different, 8 chapters on. For a start, John the Baptist is not in the wilderness anymore. He's in prison. He's in prison now. And now John the Baptist, he doesn't seem quite so sure of who this Jesus is, does he? "Are you the one? Are you the one?" he asks rather plaintively, or rather gets his disciples to ask. "Are you it? Are you the real deal? Are you the Messiah? Or was I wrong? Was I wrong about you? And do we have to keep waiting for someone else?" Now, the interesting thing is, we're not told in the text what it was that made John the Baptist doubt Jesus. We're not told. But perhaps it's easy to guess. After all, John the Baptist had been very clear about what he expected this Messiah to do. This Messiah was going to be all-powerful, all-conquering. He was going to show the world once and for all who is boss. As I mentioned earlier, John had said, I'm paraphrasing, the Messiah will brook no opposition. He will clear his threshing floor. He'll gather the goodies, and they'll be safe. And then the baddies, they're for a different destination. The world will be sorted out by this Messiah once and for all. As one biblical scholar I read during the week put it, John was expecting the Messiah to come like a powerful tidal wave. Yeah. A tidal wave which would wash away all that was wrong in the world. Wash away all the evil, all the injustice, all the suffering in the world. Wash it all away and leave nobody in doubt as to who's in charge. But that's not what John could see happening with Jesus, was it? No. As far as John the Baptist could see from his prison cell, injustice, evil, were as rampant as ever. Indeed, one of the local baddies, Herod, had put him in that prison. Yeah? And that local baddie would eventually have him killed. And so John, looking through his prison bars, perhaps not very surprisingly looking through those prison bars, he begins to doubt. Are you the real deal? Can I trust you, Jesus? And of course, the point this morning is this. Those are not just questions asked by John the Baptist 2,000 years ago, are they? Those, I suspect, are questions which we, many of us, have asked in our lives at one stage or another. Sure, we haven't been literally imprisoned by injustice like John, most of us. But prisons come in many shapes and sizes. Yeah, illness, maybe. Or grief, maybe. Or addiction, maybe. Or just plain old worry. Or despair. You name it. These can all hold us in their grip. And we too maybe can begin to ask, are you the real deal, Jesus? Can I really trust you? Where are you? So what's the answer? What's the answer? Well, let's look at the answer that Jesus gave to John. Let's look at the answer that Jesus did give to John. We can read that answer in verses 4 and 5. Jesus says, go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have good news brought to them. Basically, Jesus is saying, look around you, John. Look around you and tell me, what do you see? Do you see a powerful tidal wave washing away all injustice, all evil, all suffering? No, you don't see that. But if you look closely enough, you will see, smaller perhaps, but nonetheless real signs of the kingdom of God breaking into the world. You'll see, for example, this particular leper healed. You'll see this particular widow's son restored. You'll see this particular sinner given another chance. And blessed are you, John, says Jesus. Blessed are you if you take no offense at that. Which I take to mean, blessed are you if that's enough for you. For now. For now. You see, the truth is, not every sick person in Galilee was healed by Jesus. Not every wrong in the world was instantly righted. Not every piece of suffering was removed, was it? But some were. And those were signs. Those were promises that is what God has ultimately in store for all of us. Wholeness, peace, and a relationship with God that not even death can break. So not so much a tidal wave, perhaps, but maybe instead a steady stream. A steady stream of love. A stream of love flowing from a source we're assured will never run dry. That, in essence, was the answer Jesus gave to John the Baptist's question. What did John make of that answer? We're not told. The text doesn't tell us. But what do we make of that answer? that's the question. What do we make of that answer? Well, let me be frank with you. Sometimes I'm with John the Baptist on this one. Sometimes I would love for God to come like a powerful tidal wave and wash away in one stroke all the pain, all the evil, all the suffering in the world. I guess you might too. But I have to tell you, that's not been my experience. That's not what we usually get. Instead, more often, we get glimpses. Yeah? Sometimes ordinary, sometimes extraordinary glimpses of the way things ought to be, of the way things will be when God is all in all. In other words, to give you some examples, and I have seen these here in this congregation, we see, for example, the heroic sacrifices of parents for their children. We see, for example, the courage of those who take that first step to heal a relationship or to make peace. Or we see the determination, the inspirational determination of those who, despite their great losses and tragedies in their lives, still hold on to their faith, still hold on to the truth that our goodbyes are never the end of the story. Yeah, sure, it's not what you might call a tidal wave, but it is a steady stream of love flowing from a source that will never run dry. So, are you the Messiah? Asked John the Baptist. Well, look around you, says Jesus. Look around you. And wherever you see healing and hope and love, there I am. And blessed are you if you take no offense at that. And blessed are you if that's enough for you. For now. For now. May it be so for us. Amen.